Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Gator. We got a lot of stuff today. Including, I'm not going to call it a deep dive because it's not going to be a deep dive. But we do talk drafts on this show. And so why not? You want to start with the NBA or the NHL?
I would rather start with the NHL.
NHL. All right, Gator. I came down to two guys. Two guys that I wanted the Red Wings to take at six. And I went with the intel from a higher level. If you were choosing between these two guys, who would you take? The two guys are the 6 foot 4 inch center from the Saskatoon Blades, Kirby Dack, or the 5 foot 7 goal scoring phenom from the U.S. National Development Program, Cole Caulfield. And Gator, the pick is in. The pick is in. And with the sixth pick, the Detroit Red Wings select Kirby Dack, center, Saskatoon Blades. And the reasoning is because Dack plays the whole ice. So well-rounded, complete player. And while Caulfield would be fun, he's a great goal scorer. You know what's more fun than having a fun player? Having a fun team that wins a lot. So
fun team.
I'm going, I wouldn't be mad if it were Caulfield, don't get me wrong. But I'm going Kirby Dack out of Saskatoon, Gator.
Okay, Doug. Now, for me, it's really down to two guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think one of them is going to be there, so it's going to be pretty obvious what they should do. I think for the Red Wings, they would love it if Bowen Byram, the defenseman, were to slip to them to six. But I don't think I've seen a mock draft yet where that happens. Usually he's gone to the Kings at five, if not earlier. So that leaves the obvious choice. You cannot pass, cannot pass on someone who scores as often as the little fella Cole Caulfield does. I don't care that he's 5'7 and 163 pounds. I don't care. What I care about is that he puts the puck in the net.
That he
That's
does.
All that is important. And this guy does it at a prodigious rate. So for me, it's all about Cole Caulfield, baby.
Kang, I'm sure you approve of that pick.
Is there any other player in the draft? Cole Caulfield all the way. Natural goal scorer, guys. I've watched at least 25 minutes of YouTube highlights on him. And that's probably all I've seen in my lifetime of Cole Caulfield. But that's the pick. It's obvious, Gator. Good job.
Okay, and just real quick, just for clarity's sake, and how much of other guys did you watch?
Less than 30 seconds.
Okay, so that's fair. No, I just want to know. No, Caulfield's a dynamic little goal scorer. And, oh, by the way, you know, the higher intel that I got didn't say Caulfield would be a bad pick, just like Kirby Dack as a playing the entire ice. So there you go. And that is who we want in the NHL draft. And if you have a player that you want or a type of player that you want, one of the things that happened yesterday with the NHL is two guys that people had talked about. I don't know if there was any veracity to it being possible, but Jacob Trouba was traded to the Rangers for Neil Pionk and the 20th pick in the draft. And then Erik Karlsson got like $92 million over 8 years to stay in San Jose. And
those were two players who were linked to the Red Wings.
I don't know. Linked.
I'd seen stories in the media about how the Red Wings would be interested in Erik Karlsson. We've heard for, I think, two seasons now, Trouba's name.
And Trouba was going to get traded. and a first rounder and a pick, and a first rounder and a player, rather. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a plan, and I feel like I trust Eiserman, so I'm not going to get mad. I feel like if Ken Holland were in charge, we'd be getting Holland's asleep at the wheel again. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's not to say that the Red Wings weren't involved. We don't know if they weren't involved. It might have been. But we don't know that they were.
We don't.
No. So those are defensemen. It is an organization that is the opposite of the Tigers in their rebuild. They have put plenty of resources into offense and not as much into defense, whereas the Tigers, it's a lot of defense. A lot of defense because it's all pitching. So that kind of changes the dynamic of the offseason if the Red Wings really were to get involved. All right, what about the NBA? Who should the Pistons take? We'll get to our picks on the Pistons coming up today at 10:20. Meanwhile, open lines, 248-539-9797. I don't ever remember this happening before, Gator. Back-to-back drafts later this week. The NBA draft on Thursday, the NHL draft on Friday. Red Wings pick at 6. We just tell you who we would take. Meanwhile, the NBA draft on Friday, those picks coming up at 10:20. If you want to get involved, 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Tweets at DougAndGator971. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Gave you our picks of who we want the Red Wings to take in Friday's NHL draft. Movement yesterday in the offseason is Jacob Trouba gets traded from Winnipeg to the Rangers for defenseman Neil Pionk and the 20th pick in the first round. Erik Karlsson gets an 8-year, $92 million free agent deal. And the Red Wings, I'm not going to say swing and miss. We don't know if they even swung, but those are guys that had been through various speculation linked to Detroit. Meanwhile, there's the NBA draft. Now, the NBA draft, Gator, on Thursday, Pistons sitting there at 15. 15's a weird place to be drafting because it's the type of thing that you're out of. You know, you're out of the money, if you will, when it comes to the big name players and the guys that everyone thinks are going to be stars. I've adopted the Kang philosophy with this. Kang did this a couple of years ago with a player, and I'm doing it this year with a player. And it's a guy that's been speculated to come to Detroit for a long time. As we shift gears to the NBA draft. There we go. I saw this guy a lot this year, and I wasn't impressed.
Quick draft him at 15.
Well, he was hurt.
I think I know what you're going to say.
And I've seen him called the hardest evaluation in the class. At 15, there's no sure thing. I'm about taking a chance. I'm about trying to get a guy that at one point was considered a top five player in the draft and has plummeted. And the question is, can he shoot? But his injury impacted his shooting. He has a torn thumb ligament. And the player's been speculated to Detroit a lot, and I guess I'd be on board because the pick is in. And at 15, the Detroit Pistons select Romeo Langford, guard, Indiana. And it's a ceiling pick. I think he's got a high ceiling. I think that he can get to the basket, which is something that they need. And I don't think people know what he is. And that includes me. And the idea is at 15, you just have to take a chance. And I'm about it. I'm about a guy that the teams have had problems evaluating. I'm about a guy that's been hurt because it's hurt his stock. And yet it's not, it hasn't hurt his stock because people think he sucks. It's because they can't quite figure him out. So I'm taking the chance on Romeo Langford at 15.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou? I can understand what you're saying there with everything that I've seen him play a lot too, and I haven't been terribly impressed. So I can't go with that. It's almost like with me, it's thinking of him. It's like looking at Carson Edwards. I've seen him play a lot too, but
He's the pick at 45.
Yeah, right, right. It's different. Okay, that's second round. For me, I'm torn between two names. One, it seems like, okay, good pedigree. He's got the size that you want, and let's go with that because it seems like a safe pick. But the other one, kind of along the lines of one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, King. Hard to turn down a name like Bull, but I'm going to turn down Bull. They don't need a 7'2" center. Come on. What's going on here? They've got a big man. And it seems like they're really intent on keeping that big man. So for me, I'm going to go to the SEC and go with a blue blood program like Kentucky and look at Keldon Johnson, 6'6", 215, shooting guard, small forward. He's got the size. As a freshman, he shot 38% from three-point range. He showed some flashes. He had a game where he had 25 points in the tournament. He had a pretty nice freshman year at Kentucky. Third leading scorer on the team, averaged over 13 points a game, grabbed a bunch of rebounds. I like the athleticism. I like what he brings, and you know it seems like a safer pick for the Pistons at 15. And right now, if you listen to Stefanski, they're looking for depth. They're looking at rotation guys and somebody who can start a couple of years down the road. Maybe this is the guy that fits the bill.
All right. Fair enough. Kang, do you got a favorite?
Yeah. Listen, you know me. You said it already. I usually endorse the boomer bust with the Pistons because in this league, you need a superstar. Romeo Langford's probably the guy that best fits that description for where the Pistons are drafted. And I understand your theory because I used to subscribe to that. Not that just for this year, I do not. I think Romeo Langford's more bust than boom, and I don't think the Pistons can afford that type of player this year. This year, I go with Rui Hachimura, Gonzaga, 6'8 forward, can play both positions, smaller, power forward. I think he's solid. He has all-star ceiling, I believe, and floor, I think at worst, he's a rotational guy that's going to contribute on this team. I think he's the guy that Stefanski and the Pistons are looking for, the guy who wants to work hard. He's a junior, not one of these, you know, freshman, high school-type players. He shows he can score. He can rebound. I think he's just a solid, solid player. You couldn't do worse at 15. That's the guy I'm going with, Hachimura.
Well, I can see him being a guy that the Pistons would like a lot because they want somebody who's coachable. And if you're going to Gonzaga, you're going to go there because you're coachable. I mean, you're not a one-and-done guy. And being that junior, I totally understand where that's coming from. And he's got that size. And he's not just a beanpole. I mean, 235 pounds to go with it. That's not bad. So I can endorse that if he's there.
I can honestly see him being like a poor man's Kawhi Leonard. Like just a solid player, going to come in and work hard. Like I said, all-star potential. That's who I'd go with. And so this year, I'm staying away from that boomer bust theory, Doug, and I'm going with Rui.
I'm surprised. If you did go boomer bust,
it'd be Romeo Langford.
Okay.
Well, but Hachimura, he averaged almost 20 points a game.
Oh, he's a player.
Yeah.
He's not. Back in the day, he's a lottery pick for sure. But now with this new, you know, NBA draft where you totally go boomer bust potential, he's a junior. You know, he's almost too old, right? But no, I think he's a solid player. I think the Pistons could do very well if they got Rui.
Kang, I like it. You know, 19.7 points a game in college last year, 41.7% from three-point land. He makes free throws a 74% clip. I like it. I like it a lot, Doug.
I got to tell you, I don't mind any of these picks. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight Kang. Sometimes I will fight you over something. This is not one of them.
Wait, sometimes I won't fight Kang?
Nope, don't want to fight Kang either.
Ever? You ever say someone makes you want to fight? I mean, he's...
Well, the griddle thing.
Yeah,
he really is.
I'm not mad about the griddle. I'm. You know what he did today? Or what he did yesterday, actually. He really went all in. He just took his... It was like a Weber grill, right? Is that what it was?
It was, I don't think it was Weber. It was like char grill or something like that.
He took it and he put it out on the extension and basically said, anybody wants it?
Whoa.
And that's how insignificant it was to me.
You put it on the curb.
Yep, went to the curb. I forgot to take a picture. Tweeted it out.
Wow.
Got swooped up before the garbage even got there.
Always does.
I went out this morning. It was gone. I'm like, well.
It's amazing what goes if you put out the garbage, how quickly it goes. Like, didn't I just put that out? How is that gone?
Yeah, there was one time I forgot I had some more garbage. So I went back out to throw it, and I'm like, whoa, my clothes hanging rack is gone now that I had just next to the recycling bin. What? Yeah, people like to swoop up. That's good. Someone else can use it.
All right.
By all means.
248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Who do you want the Pistons to take at 15? And your feedback, of course, will be read coming up. Carson Anderson, we've got Champ and Chump on the website. Coming up today at 10:32, Ed Stefanski, Pistons GM, said something that might be tipping the hand a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe we're just reading something into it, but we'll play it for you and you can decide today at 10:32. And whether or not you agree with him. Let's go to Ken on a sell you on 97 on a ticket. Hi, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I got a little different thought. And as soon as the Davis trade went through and the Pels got the fourth pick, like immediately started talking about how they were shopping that pick. Now, I don't know how possible this is, and I don't know what you're talking about with Stefanski.
Yep.
But how about taking 15 and the Pelicans want some veteran leadership on their young team, Blake Griffin for four?
I mean, I don't know. I'd do it. I'd do it if I were the Pistons. I don't know if they would do it.
Would you have to maybe throw in Kennard or pick up part of Blake's salary? I mean, I would do anything to get out of that huge salary.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's going to be around their neck for too many years.
I get where you're coming from, and I think that would signify a full scale rebuild, and I think Tom Gores has made it pretty clear.
We need a full rebuild.
Yeah, I don't think Gores would do that.
It feels like they think that they're, you know, they're kind of caught in no man's, well, not close, but they're in no man's land. They have to either go for it or not, or do a total rebuild. And when you've got three players to start with, like they do, they feel maybe they can build around that and get into the top four in the Eastern Conference. I don't know if I agree with it, Ken, but I think that's their philosophy. I brought this up yesterday because I do think that it's possible if you wanted to do that rebuild, I think it's possible that you can make an offer to get a top five pick.
Okay, see, I think Romeo Langford is swing for the fences. I think Romeo Langford is a guy that people are having problems evaluating. He was hurt last year, had a torn ligament in his thumb, and nobody knows if he can actually shoot the basketball. If at one point he was considered a top five pick, now he's top 20, and he's been projected to the Pistons a lot. That's a swing for the fences pick. I kind of feel like if we are to believe him, unless they really are sure of something that others aren't, the Romeo Langford won't be the pick.
That would be what I would infer from that as well, because it seems like, and I like, by the way, I like his philosophy of what they're looking for. They want guys that are coachable. They want guys that are willing to work hard. And when you're picking at 15, I kind of feel like that's what you have to get. If you're in the lottery, I don't know if it's fair. It's not fair to label the guys divas that are there, but you're talking about the elite college basketball players, then they're all 18 years old, or guys overseas that you really don't know too much about. And they may have the propensity, maybe it's a stereotype, to be a little more coddled. You get into the meat of it there, and this is why I kind of buying in with what Kang said with his choice, Hachimura from Gonzaga being the pick of 15, if he's there. You're talking about a program like Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a very well-respected basketball program. Year in, year out, they're in the tournament. They usually make a pretty decent run, like Gonzaga, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other programs go in every year, too, but they do it with one-and-done guys, whether it's Kentucky or North Carolina or Duke or Kansas or whomever, Louisville. They usually do it with one and done guys, and they just simply reload, and here comes the next crew. This guy's been there for 3 years. He's been coached for 3 years by the same guy who everyone loves his coaching style, right? Everyone raves about what a great job he does there. This screams to me, the more you do that, wading deeper into the pool there, where you understand this is the type of player that they would love to have. Somebody who is learned a lot from year to year to year. Now his junior year, and now he's ready to come out. He's got the size. He's got talent because he can shoot and must be coachable if he's going to stay there at Gonzaga for 3 years. So that's the kind of guy that I can get on board with, because there are so many guys you look at in this team, and you got to look at the coach you have too. The coach is a guy who wants to be a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. This is what Dwayne Casey's about. He's about teaching the game to players and young players. Well, You got to get on board. We say with Patricia, people had to buy into it, and it took them a long time to buy in. And look what happened when they weren't buying into it on the defensive side. It looked awful. Then they started to buy into it, understand the process, and improve dramatically.
I don't know if that's a done story yet.
It may not be. It may not be. But I still think that you have to – the premise is there. You've got to buy in. So I think getting those young coachable players is paramount importance.
All right, 248-539-9797. Coming up at 10:50, is this an example of great sports parenting or terrible sports parenting? Let's get to your phone calls once again. And Paul is in Garden City and next. Hello, Paul.
Hi, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up?
How about Bruno Fernando out of Maryland?
Big fella.
He can run the floor. I seen him play against Michigan. He was a presence on the floor. Let's face it, we need defense on that team. And trade Blake Griffin for draft picks and get younger and let these kids develop. But what do you think of him at number 15?
Well, let's start with the Blake Griffin thing. Again, I'm not sure that they're interested in doing it, and I'm not sure that they can. Nice talk. So that's kind of a non-starter. Until we see them do it, I just don't think they're going to be able to do that. Is that a fair way to put it?
No, I think it's a fair way to put it.
And we can talk about, this sounds insulting. We can talk about fantasy, but I really don't think it's possible. I don't think anybody's going to take that contract.
I mean, I could talk myself into thinking that New Orleans would consider it because of what New Orleans has given up to what they gave up.
They lost
with Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Getting a guy who is absolutely a team player in Blake Griffin with young impressionable players in that roster. And you're about to have Zion there? Yeah, I think you can make that case that it could happen. I don't think it would, but you can make a case where it could be feasible. Now, but New Orleans has to want to do it. As far as Bruno Fernando's concerned, I mean, he's a big guy, 6'10", 240, almost 14 points a game at Maryland, over 10 rebounds a game.
He's fun to watch.
He makes free throws for a big guy.
I don't think he's the style of player that I want. I want a guard that could create his own shot. Now, do you pass on a great big? Fernando, you'd probably have to use your first pick. He probably won't be around in the second round. But, you know, I watched outside the Big Ten. I mean, Romeo Langford's a high-ceiling guy. I'm taking the chance. I admit it. I do like Carson Edwards and wouldn't be mad at him if they went Carson Edwards in the second round. Bruno Fernando, if he were there in the second round, I don't think he will be. Maybe, but my guess is he's going to go late first, early second. Wouldn't be mad at him, though, if he slips to them in the second round. I would not take him at 15. For the Carson Anderson inbox, Doc, he's Michael Rasmussen 2.0. Trevor Zegras is a Dylan Larkin clone. It would be a great second-line center. It's from Jacob Warren. I want the Red Wings to take the best player in the draft at 6. That would be Trevor Zegras. Zegras or Zegras, do you know?
I don't know.
All right. His vision is off the charts.
I know he's the wrong guy.
Easily pass Larkin as the number one center. He'll be able to quarterback the power play and set up Zadina. I encourage you to watch some of his unreal feeds. That's from Matt. If you're going to take a chance, you have to take Kevin Porter Jr. of USC. Dude will be the Donovan Mitchell of this class, NBA-type size and skills. He's not there at 15. Trade the pick. It's from an unnamed. If he's not there at 15, trade the pick. Unnamed texter. Kang, you know it. I'm Hachimaria all day. He's the best pick for us. Shot 40% from 3. 6'8". Please don't take Keldon or Alexander. Rui or Bol Bol, go big. That's from Eric. I'm with Doug. I could see Langford flame out in 3 seasons or turn into an all-star. No point in being safe at 15. Also, I'd take Podkolzin for the Wings at 6. Won't be available for a couple years, but he was a consensus third best player in the draft all year. It's from Nick in Ann Arbor. Also, Hachimaria gives you someone you can plug in right away instead of relying on starting Glenn Robinson the third. Either way, you need a small forward. That's from Tim in Chesterfield.
He could play small or power forward. They need someone to relieve Blake Griffin every now and then. They had no backup. I mean, Thon Maker, John Lure. I mean, these guys, you know, Hachimaria can come in right away and I think at least be a rotational guy.
Well, here's what I would bet heavily he's not going to be. A bust. I would bet heavily on him being, at the very least,
in the league
a
for
solid
like
NBA player. Yeah. Do I think he's going to be a huge difference maker? I don't know. I kind of suspect not.
But if you think he's going to be in the league for 10 years.
It'd be a good player. I think he's going to be a solid pro.
That's what you look at 15.
I'm looking at something more than that. I'm looking at the guy that I think has a higher ceiling that has fallen for a reason. and I'm looking at taking a chance. Admittedly, I'm looking at taking a chance. 248-539-9797. I'll be happy if the Pistons draft any of these three players, Nasir Little, Kevin Porter Jr., or Romeo Langford. That's from Will. PJ Washington would be an excellent pick for the Pistons. Romeo Langford is just a guy. Well, if he turns out to be just a guy, then the pick will be a bust. It's a high-risk, high-reward pick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.